Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So I want to welcome back Lenore Skenazy, columnist at the New York Sun. She recently wrote an article about something she lets her 9-year-old son do, something that a number of her readers and maybe a number of you listeners as well, judging by the beginning of our comments page on this, found shocking, horrifying, astonishing. What act of New York City parenting could provoke such a reaction? Well, I told you before the break, she didn't hand him a bottle of Brooklyn Lager and tell him to drink it up. Or take him to see a Quentin Tarantino film. Okay, Lenore.
No, I didn't. I didn't say, here's $20, go get some crack, please bring it home fast, I'm jonesing. No, what I did is I let him take a subway by himself, and I had no idea when I wrote this piece that it would provoke, my God, the kind of response it has provoked. It's surprising to me.
When was it? What were the circumstances?
The circumstances were my son is a fourth grader, PS116. He's curious about the world. He would love to drink the Brooklyn Lager and smoke and drive a Ferrari, but he can't do that yet. So the grown-up thing he really wanted to do then was, please, Mom, take me someplace and let me try to find my way home. He wanted to use the subway and do it by himself. And I thought, well, that's reasonable. We live in a very safe city. The subway map is readable. He's literate. Let's do it. And that's what I did.
So the point was precisely to take the subway. This
yes.
wasn't, oh, I'm going to work and your dad's not going to be home until 6:30.
Oh, honey, I don't know what to do. It's a crisis. No, this was a Sunday right after Hebrew school. I took him up to Bloomingdale's. I've been trying to think what would be a good place for him to start. And we live on the east side. So yeah. I thought Bloomingdale's be fun. We'll wander around. My God, the subway's right there.
So this was like take the 6 train, 2 stops?
No, it was, yeah, basically would have been. But I didn't tell him to take the 6 train. We looked at the map first, but I thought that would have been cheating. But he knows we're on the Lexington line, okay? And then we have to take another, you can either walk home from the Lexington line or take a bus.
Right. So this is actually more threatening in a way than I thought it was going to be. Because this isn't just, okay, this is a route that we've done together
no.
a million times.
Well, he's been
today
on,
you're going to do it alone. This is, okay, we're going to play a game and see if
you
get
lost.
Have you
never heard of a scavenger hunt? And you know what? Sometimes I get lost on the subway. Sometimes you do go the wrong way. And I thought that would have been okay, too. I mean, at some point, he will get lost on the subway. In this case, he didn't. It turns out he actually had to ask somebody, which way is downtown. He knew he had to go downtown. But good for him. He asked somebody. You don't just sit there and wait out a couple hours. You ask. It's a safe city. You ask.
So your inbox has been overflowing.
Yes, yes.
And you brought some examples.
I brought a couple of examples. I mean, a lot of people recall their own youths really happily about how they used to take the subway when they were kids, and they say, I just don't understand what went wrong. Now I'm afraid to do it, or kudos to you for doing it like my kid deserves a medal. But then there were a couple ones like this one, which was, if I were his father, I might have had you institutionalized for flagrant lunacy. Clearly, you like playing Russian roulette. So this time the chamber was empty. Keep on trying. And then basically threatening me with saying that, that there's a loaded gun. And someday, by putting my son on the subway, it will be me who pulled the trigger. And I think that's wrong. I mean, I think someday he'll know how to get around on the subway.
Listeners, at what age do you or did you let your child cross the street
mm-hmm.
by herself? Go to the corner store alone. Listeners, where is the line? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post a comment to our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. When do you let your kids ride the subway? When did your parents let you? At what age? 212-433-WNYC. And oh, by the way, any regrets for what age you chose or was chosen for you? Any regrets mm-hmm. for you? No, obviously not.
No regrets yet. He really liked it. He wants to do it again. Next time he wants to go to Queens. And I got one letter because in the bottom of my piece I said that that's what he wanted to do. And one lady wrote back, don't do the Queens thing! !! All caps. I'm like, the Queens thing. It's like, I have a feeling a lot of kids come in from Queens on the subway.
So you're going to just like drop them off in Forest Hills and say, find your way home.
I might. It'd probably be, at the beginning, I would probably take him to maybe Astoria or something. His aunt lives in Astoria. But, I think a second time in Queens might be, it's on the subway map.
Larry in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hey, Larry.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
Yeah, I have three daughters, 7, 9, and 12. And the 12-year-old, we tried to get, we moved back to the city after being in northern Michigan for 6 years. We tried to acclimate her to the city. It was more of necessity to get her to go to her fifth grade class. And we had a real trouble with it. But I think the author's right. If your child is up for it and they seem to be interested, and mm-hmm. go for it. But it was very hard to get her, so it almost bordered upon torturing her to go to school. We finally kind of gave it up. But
wait, it still borders on torture to get my son to go to school. that is the problem. Getting him to ride the subway, no problem.
Well, you know, it's funny because kids developmentally, they're just learning in school how to learn, read maps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't realize they live on a planet that's round and how far these countries are and mm-hmm. they have capitals and so forth. So, yeah, that's great that your son's so inquisitive. That's great.
Oh, well, thanks.
Larry, thanks for your call. Let's see. Who should we go to next? How about Christina in Manhattan? You're on WNYC. Hi, Christina.
Hi. Good morning. My husband, who is a native New Yorker and 51 years old, says he, when he grew up in the East Village, he went with his mother to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and they got separated on the platform, and he just kept going, and he went to the museum, and he went and looked at what he wanted to look at and went home by himself.
And he made it to 51. Incredible. It didn't stop. The story didn't stop then, right?
He just, nope. he didn't go look for the parent.
Yeah.
He went to the museum and looked at the exhibits in the museum.
And that's probably his most treasured childhood memory. I mean, you know it, right? I mean, here you are calling with it. Now it's a family treasured memory, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you very much. Carrie in South Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, that's totally great. I just want to say kudos.
Hey.
I'm the parent of a 4.5-year-old. I hope that
put her on the subway.
I hope that she'll be a 9-year-old on the subway. I was a summer camp counselor for years, and part of what we did as camp counselors in the 80s was we took kids on things we called magical mystery trips, and it involved putting 13- and 14-year-olds with maps in their hands in small rural communities and giving them enough money to make a phone call. First of all, in those days it was just going to a payphone, mm-hmm. so that they could locate us, and we told them where we were located at a local diner or something like
bar.
That in a safe place, and then they had to go out and make fun for the day, and they had to do it in safe ways, and they had to find their way around the community with their maps.
But it's amazing. It's a great idea, and don't you think life should be that? It shouldn't take a camp counselor to tell a kid, go out, have fun, and come back at the end of the day. I mean, that's what life used to be. I think it makes a lot of sense.
I couldn't agree more, and I think those who think that we live in a dangerous society, unfortunately, are in some modest way contributing to the fear-mongering
It's not even a modest way that they're contributing, because then they're keeping their kids inside, and what are their kids doing? They're watching TV, and they're seeing all these horror stories, or they're staying inside with their kids.
There are people who get shot in their backyards at parties. It happened the other day in Brooklyn. It was in the papers.
Yeah, so no more parties, backyard. You better go down to that bunker and have your party there and screen everybody.
My 90-year-old grandmother, who is from the Upper West Side of Manhattan her whole life, taught me that you could get killed crossing the street. Go live your life. And so I just say kudos, and I hope other people will do the same.
Oh,
Carrie,
thanks so much.
Thank you very much. But you weren't, Lenore, tempted to hastily purchase a trench coat while you're at Bloomingdale's
and
follow him around on the subway?
No. And actually, a lot of people wrote back and said, you know, well, I think that's fine if you did it the way I would have done it, which is following him just around the corner so he couldn't see you. And I'm like, that assumes that there really is something that you have to watch out for. And the point is to give him a little rope. And it's so little rope that's what's killing me. It's not like I sent him to Yemen with a drachma or whatever they have there, or a camel. It was the middle of the day. There's people around. We're living in a city. The statistics are New York is as safe now as it was in 1963 when the 51-year-old was going off to the Metropolitan Museum on his own. It's a safe city, and there's people around.
Now, my crack Peabody Award-winning staff decided to investigate whether you could be subject to arrest for this or have the city confiscate your child.
Like, this is your life.
Confiscate your child. Now,
could they
found a pamphlet that's published by the New York City's Administration for Children's Services. And
uh-oh.
Here's what it says, quote, "There is no set age at which you can leave a child alone."
But
the parent is responsible for deciding whether or not the child is mature and responsible enough to understand the circumstances and take care of her or himself.
Okay.
So they take a dive on that one.
That's good.
It's a judgment call.
I thought the handcuffs were going to be outside the studio.
Yes. And, you know, it would be painful to have your child raised by others, but at least he'd be safe.
But at least he wouldn't be on the subway, for God's sake.
Maggie in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maggie.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I think people in Europe would get a big kick about this because in Europe, kids go on the bus, on the train at 9, 10 years old. My parents did in Romania. I did as a small kid here in New York City growing up in Queens. And it's just a riot that people would get upset in a safe city like New York to get upset at going on the train. What's the big deal? I mean, people in France do it all the time.
Here's two things that I think are going on. One is that New Yorkers believe their old reputation of being this, you know, dirty, scary, crime-ridden city, which, you know, some of us mourn a little bit, but that's not what we're in anymore. We're in a really safe city. And the other thing is that the statistics get blown out of proportion. You see, we all know the names of the terrible stories of, like, the girl in Spain or the girl in Utah, the ones who were snatched by strangers. And this becomes like an echo chamber because we all know those stories. We repeat them to each other, and that becomes like we think that's normal. But it's not. It's obviously very rare, and you have a great perspective.
Thank you, Maggie. You know, our first guest this morning, Philip Sand, was mentioning to our team that he was texting his son, who is 12, and taking the train from London to Paris by himself.
Oh, that's so cool.
So how about an airplane? Would you put your kid on an airplane?
You're going to make me sound like I'm like the most, you know, ridiculously blithe spirit. And I wish I was. Believe me, I believe in safety belts and helmets and tutors. I'm a crazy Manhattan parent in every other way. But
well,
an airplane, you know.
Crazy Manhattan white upper middle class parent, I'm assuming here.
Right.
Because this is a class issue to some degree, right?
There would
be a lot. You don't think?
The only reason I shake my head no is my son, as I said, is at PS116, which is a plethora of different classes there and every possible ethnic background. And most of the parents thought I was crazy, you know, from poor to rich.
So did they say what age? I mean, there's not such a big
range.
So by the time, you know, by the time a kid is 11.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be an issue for
no, 11 is middle school.
Anybody.
My 11-year-old takes the bus, you know, second day of middle school. He was going by himself, and I don't think he was unusual.
So the whole subject of debate that's generating, you know, hundreds of outrage emails to you is on sort of the difference between 9 and 11 for an Upper East Side kid.
Uh-huh.
Or an East Side kid.
East
Side kid.
Yeah. I guess so, yeah. And frankly, he recently turned 10. He turned 10 like a week ago, so now he's 10. Now is it going okay? I mean, is it the double digit that does it? I mean, I think it's when they're interested, when you've looked at a map together. You know, the safety really doesn't seem like an issue, so if they're ready, go.
Close to 10, you said. So it's
close to 10, yeah.
How
9 was he? That depends on your definition of is.
David in Mineola, I think, wants some advice. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
I have twin 9-year-old daughters, and I think it's fantastic what you did, and I think I'm going to do it this weekend.
Hey, cool. And also, I have to say, if they travel in twos, I'm sorry, what?
I said I'm going to take them to Manhattan and see if they can find their way home. And it sounds like a joke, but it reminded me, I grew up in Flushing, and my parents, I got into an argument with them one day at the tennis center by Shea Stadium, and they said, I think you're so smart, you see if you can get home. And they left me, and I ended up walking from Shea Stadium to 150th place in Flushing. And I thought it was great. It took about an hour and 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I was so upset I didn't have subway fare, but you know what? I made it alive. And it's
so if you're going to drop them in Manhattan, this means they're going to have to find their way to Penn Station and then the right Long Island Railroad train to Mineola, right?
We might start close to Penn Station. But, you know, as far as adventure, they love it.
And then, David, you and Lenora can get together and
we'll meet at Penn Station.
I'd say you blindfold your kids and you drop them off somewhere in the middle of Pennsylvania.
Right.
No, you know what,
with a little bit of bear repellent.
One great idea for parents, and we took our children to Copenhagen for my brother's wedding. When they're in the city and they were younger, we took them out to amusement park, simply wrote our cell phones on their arms.
And that's the last word, because we're out of time. Lenore Scanese wrote this column about letting her 9-year-old ride the train by himself for the New York Sun. Thanks a lot, Lenore.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, NWNYC.